Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Parashat Bereshit. This would usually be the happiest time of the year for me. It's my happy place. Parashat Bereshit is where everything starts and we always come back to it. Maybe we'll read the first two Pesukim, but first let us dedicate our learning
to the
beautiful Neshamot that we've lost, that have perished. I'd like to believe that they left us right after Yom Kippur. They left us as pure a state as they could possibly be in, and they are in the highest, most exalted place in Shamayim. Let's also pray for the safe return of our hostages or lost or missing people. And let's pray for our soldiers. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for everybody to be able to move forward, God willing, when this is resolved, and have our physical selves, our emotional selves restored, repaired, and God willing, stronger than ever. My first instinct was when I just heard the news for the first time during the happiest time of the year to hear the saddest news. Personally, I don't know why, but the words Vayidom Aharon jumped into my mind. Aharon, during the dedication of the Mishkan, during what was supposed to be the happiest time in our year, he loses his two sons. And my initial reaction was, that's it. I have nothing left to say. I have nothing left to give. I'm broken. And I think now's the time to just say nothing because I don't know what to say. And as the days went on, I realized that Vayidom Aharon may have really meant that Aharon didn't speak about the horror that was, but he still continued his duties and he still continued to minister in the temple and he went on with his work. And Vayidom Aharon does not mean that we are gonna allow ourselves to be silenced. Rather, it means that we need to carry on. There's a job to be done. And the Mitzrim try to do it to us. Vaya'anu otanu ha-Mitzrim. They tried to silence us. They tried to quiet our voices. They tried to separate our communication with our God. And they were unsuccessful, and every generation since then will be unsuccessful because we, when we say Vayidom, it means that we silence the part of us that questions why, because we will never understand the ways of Hashem. But we open up a new channel, and that channel has to be to continue to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all our hearts and all our souls. And with that, we should start right at the beginning of Parashat Bereshit, because I think the history is embedded right here, but so are a lot of the solutions. If we just start from the very beginning, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. We've spent hours talking about the structure of this verse, the fact that it's comprised of seven words, because it's meant to be related in the natural world, the fact that God's name is introduced to us as Elohim. Many of you like to interpret Elohim as the God of Din, Midat Hadin, the one of justice. We also like to see that when Elohim creates the world, he creates it from above to below. And today, more than ever, Pasuk 2 is just ringing true. Veha'aretz hayeta tohu vavohu. And the land was tohu vavohu. That's what we're in right now. We are in a state of chaos and confusion. There is choshech al penei tehom. There is a huge darkness. But don't forget, Ruach Elohim, merachevet al pene hamayim. We need to open the Torah when we're at a loss, and we have to allow the words to sink into our psyche, and we have to realize and believe that there is a choshech, there is a darkness, there is pain. Pene tehom. Word tehom sounds like mehuma. There is confusion. There's not just confusion on the battlefield. We ourselves in our mind are confused. It's something very hard to process. But one thing that the Torah is going to tell us, and we need to hold on to this dearly, is that when Hashem, when Ruach Elohim, when God's Spirit is hovering above us, God is the one who's going to say Yehi Od. He's said it before and he will say it again. And there will be light again. And God will separate between the darkness and the light. The darkness and the light are coexistent, but God is asking Yehi Od. It doesn't say Yehi Choshech. Choshech is. Darkness is. Confusion is. Pain is. But what is God asking us? If we want Od, it's something that we have to bring about, that we have to actively seek out and actively generate this sense of light. And we generate it by recognizing that Ruach Elohim Merachefet, that God is with us. We are not alone in this. And God calls that Od Kitov. That is what's going to bring Tov. What's going to bring goodness into the world? What's going to dispel the Choshech? What's going to dispel the evil is Or. Or we believe, and it's interpreted by many commentaries as intellect, as knowledge, as informed, as being enlightened. We need to totally immerse ourselves in this Sefer, in this Torah, which is going to be a guiding light for us. And God's going to call this Or Yom, the Or and the daytime, this Erev and Boked. This is where we're at right now. Vayhi Erev, yes, right now it's Tohu Vavohu. And right now, today, we're in a state of Erev. But please believe when God puts this in his first Parshia, he starts this out by saying, Vayhi Erev, yes, world, there will be darkness, but Vayhi Boked. We're headed, we're already in the darkness. What's going to come next is going to be the light. And we're going to learn through our studies that it's not just Elohim that's going to bring that light, but that we all have a responsibility to generate this light from below to above. God's initial light came from Shamayim to Aretz, and in chapter 2, of course, where we see a new name for God, where we see the name Hashem Elohim for God, we realize that there's a new modality, there's a new way for light to enter the world, and that is from Aretz to Shamayim. It's our job now. This is going to be the work of every single human being, and that is to generate light from below to above. We're going to have to talk about what it means to generate light, what it means specifically, what is our role as the nation that God has chosen to be its ambassadors. How is it that we can be these generators of Or? And so we move forward, and just so that we give the kavod to the parasha as it deserves, Hashem goes through his 7 days of creation, and he culminates it with the V'yichulu Hashamayim V'ha'aretz. At the beginning of chapter 2, Hashem completes the heavens and the earths. V'chol Seva'am, we have our Kiddush over here, where God says, and maybe this is a little bit of what we're experiencing, where God says, I did 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day, I'm going to step back. And now, for all of the rest of time, what God is asking of us, when he asks us to mirror him, when he creates us, B'tzalmenu, kidmutenu, in his image and in his likeness, is that we should mirror him. So we too, for 6 days, are going to be creative. And then on the seventh day, we're going to step back. When we step back on our Shabbatot, when we step back on our seventh day, we're actually allowing for God's expansion in the world. You may have heard the term tzimtzum, contraction and expansion. A lot of that is birthed from these verses, from these pesukim. But one thing, if we're going to talk about bringing order into the world and our job to bring lightness in the world, is the verse of how God created us. The way God created us is Vayivra Elohim et Adam Betzalmo, Betzelem Elohim bara oto. This verse, I use it often and refer back to it often as being a chiastic structure, a structure, a pasuk that is looking at itself in the mirror. And so therefore, if we want to really be and live up to being created in God's image, that means that when we see ourselves, or when the world sees us, they have to see a reflection of God. We can't look, lo yira'ed p'nei Hashem rekam. We can't come to God and not have his presence emanating from us. And so if the first thing he created was Or, then we too have to create Or. And as we go through our week, I say this often, every day has to be a day of creation. Every day has to be a day of productivity. I say this a lot, but you could technically be Mechalel Shabbat on Tuesday. If you don't create on Tuesday, and you treat Tuesday as if it was a Shabbat with no creation, then you just diluted the Shabbat. You were making it whole. You took Shabbat and you made it whole. You made it, you de-sanctified it by treating another day the same way that Shabbat is treated. So I'm saying it for myself as much as for everybody else. I hear it a lot. I'm guilty as charged. Many of us might be walking around in a daze. It's very hard to be productive when you're in a daze. We can't think straight. We can't focus on anything. I don't know if I'm speaking for everybody, but for myself, it's very, very hard to just focus when there's so much incomprehensible information that is coming our way. And so, back to our story. Let's be the images of God that he created us to be. Let's start by creating. If you're in a place right now where you're just devastated, do one creative thing. Do something. Bake a cake. Paint something. I don't know what you want to do, but do something that you could show that there's a side of you that is productive and not just reactive. And so we move on, and we have the famous story of Hashem placing Adam in the garden, instructing him what he can and can't eat from. I'm not going to spend too much time today on the Etz HaChayim and Etz HaDa'at. It's years of discussion just to try and begin to understand what a lot of that is about. But I'm for today just going to say that if we're going to put that story in the category of sin, if we're going to put it in the category of man's failure, then I'm going to title it, it was a failure, it was a rupture, but that rupture was between man and God. And the commentaries will say that that was repaired many times over. They'll use Matan Torah when we said Na'aseh V'Nishma. That's it. The one thing we do have to understand is that when Hashem says, I forgive you, Salachti Kidvarecha, he really forgives us. And so we can't go back to this sin of Adam Harishon and harp on it. But what we should be harping on, if at all, is the next story. And that's where I want to spend my time today. I think it is Dvar Yom BeYomo. I think it speaks a lot to what we are experiencing today. And that's the story of Cain and Hevel. That's the story of the first murder. That's the story of the first blood being spilt into the ground. We're going to read the Pesukim together and see if we can come away with, hopefully, something that we can apply to our current time. So it would be in the beginning of Perek Dalet, chapter 4. Ve'ha'adam yada et chava ishto. And Adam is intimate with Chava, his wife. Vatahar vateled. She becomes pregnant, she conceives, and she gives birth to Cain. He already has a name. Vatomer, and she says, Kaniti ish et Hashem. I have either created or acquired a man with Hashem. This is wrought with tons of interpretations. We'll say simply that it seems that Cain comes on the scene as a total evolved ish. He's already a human being. My daughter-in-law, Simone, taught me a very important concept in psychology. And she had said that the process has to take precedence over the product. Meaning, it's not just about Cain being fully formed. If there was no process to get him to that point, then his foundation is going to be very weak. We know it when we're educating children. I don't want the answer to the math problem. I want to see the process by which you got there, because the process is not just equal to, it might be even more important than the final product. And so when we talk about this concept with Cain, it's possible, if we wanted to understand who he is and why he acts the way he does, it's possible that he didn't go through a process. He just arrived. And when we read these Pesukim, it says, Vateled et Cain. She gives birth to him, and we said he has a name already. And she says, Kaniti ish, I have acquired. And to be born with this sense of being acquired or being completed or being fully realized, this idea of kanui, this idea of tada, here I am, in all of my glory, I am presenting myself as being a complete human being, is going to be very detrimental as we move forward, because we know as human beings we are intended to constantly be works in progress. There is no such thing as already have fulfilled all of our potential. But what's most interesting for me and my studies is that this verse also has the name of God, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name of God, appearing for the first time in Torah as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Which means that Chava is the one, when she says, I created a man with Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, with Hashem, that name for Hashem means something very specific. And what it means is that I'm going to name, there has to be a new name for God, and the name for God that allows a person to create themselves, to be the ultimate form of a creator, is to reproduce one's self. I mean, even God, if he wanted to create Chava, he had to take the earth and he had to form it and fashion it. And he put Adam to sleep and took from his etzim, from his bone. Chava is able to produce a living, breathing human being, which is something that only God could do. So when we use the name Hashem that she creates, she's really saying that Hashem has imbued me with a spirit and a potential and power that is equal to a creator And you know what God says to that? He says, guess what? I love that name. I love the idea that you're creators. I love the idea that I created my image and my image recognizes its greatness. And I love that idea so much, says God, that that's the name I'm going to put on my birth certificate. That's the name that I'm going to use when the Jews are going to come out of Egypt. When Moshe is going to ask me, I'm going to say, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. But when I reveal myself to the people, I'm going to tell them directly, Anochi Hashem. This is who I am. I am the God that created you and allowed you to be not only partners in creation, but to be creators in and of your own right, which is a tremendous, tremendous progression. Then we have the next verse, and this is where things start to get a little difficult. Vatosef laledet. She continues to give birth. And the first question we say is, Vatosef laledet, what do we need him for? We already have a son. Vatosef means this is an additional son, an extra son, a second son, or maybe even a spare child. Vatosef laledet, she gives birth again, et achiv, this child doesn't even yet have his own name because his only reason for existence or his only claim to fame is that he is achiv. He's the brother to the first, to the one and only, to the kanui, to the one who is the godchild. So she gives birth to his brother, et hevel. She names him Hevel. We don't even know why she named him Hevel. We went through a whole story about why Cain got his name, but Hevel doesn't even get, there's no expression to why she named him Hevel. And the commentaries say Hevel, like from Hevel Havalim, from Kohelet. The word Havel means like the breath, like the air, like vapor, something that's fleeting, something that now you see it, now you don't. And it tells us, Vayehi Hevel Roetzon. And I'd like to say in English, Hevel became a Roetzon. Why does it say Hevel became a Roetzon? But by Cain in the next few words says, Vekayin Haya Uved Adama. But Cain was a tiller of the land. And then, I'll just finish the pasuk, at the end of days, Cain's going to bring from the fruits of the ground an offering for God. So before we get to that part, why does it say, Vayihi Hevel Roetzon? Hevel became a shepherd. It seems that the farming industry, the agricultural industry, was already covered by his brother, Cain. So what was he to do? He doesn't seem that he's invited into the family business because the Oved Adama, who established that enterprise, Adam was Oved Adama. Ki ta'avod et ha'adama. He was the first tiller of the land. We don't really have any shepherds until Hevel comes around. And it might already be introducing us to the concept of Cain's attitude of, I am the one, I am the chosen one, I am the godchild, I am everything that is me. All of that leads to one type of attitude, and that is, there's no room and no need for you. I already exist. In a scarier way, Cain could be asking, do you even have a right to exist? We don't need you. We already have it covered. Why are you even here? And this is a very scary generations long conflict of, I'm here, I exist, I take up space, I have it covered, I don't need you. You're in the way, you're extraneous, and really we'd be better off without you. And world wars and world conflicts are born from this idea of not being able to make space for the other, not being able to recognize that the other was also created in the image of God. And the other is my brother. I'll say it again. The other is my brother. So if I'm going to see him as the other and not as my brother, there is going to end up with bloodshed, which is what we're going to see in the next few verses. So already we get this idea from Cain from the very beginning. Before I make that point, let's just say that Vayihi, we know that something bad is going to happen. Vayihi, it's twice in our verse. Miketz Yamim, and it's been interpreted in many ways. Maybe Ketz could be the end, like Katzti Bechayai, I want my life to end. So or Miketz Shnatayim, after a few years when Paro had his dreams, the word Ketz could often mean at the end of. And if this is speaking to us, and it's saying Miketz Yamim, at the end of days, Cain's going to bring from his fruit of the ground. What are we imagining? We have to understand where these midrashim are born from. When the midrash is going to tell us that Cain's, I'm killing the story, but I think you all know it already. When the midrash is going to tell us that Cain's offering was not accepted, and possibly tell us that he brought from his least favorable or rotten or secondary type fruits, the Torah is saying that when typically, if we're gonna bring from the Pri HaAdama to God, we know the law of Bikurim, when would we bring those Bikurim? Which of the Pri HaAdama would we bring? It's inherent in the word Bikurim, the Bechorim. You're supposed to bring the first fruits, not Miketz, not at the end of the year, I collected all of these grapefruits, and at the end of the year, I had 20 left over. So those are the ones, my leftovers, my secondary ones, those are the ones at the end of the year that I'm going to bring to God. And in that modality, what is Cain thinking? He's thinking that I'm going to put myself first. I'm going to eat whatever I need to eat, whatever I want to consume, and I'm going to put God last. Whatever's left over, that's what I'm going to give to God. That attitude is an arrogance in that attitude. And we'll talk about the arrogance in a little bit. And some people go as far as to say, don't kill Cain so much. He did what was required. He saw that he had a bounty, and he decided that of that bounty, be it in the beginning or be it in the end, he was going to bring a mincha, he was going to bring a gift to God. And they go as far as to say, we're going to call him a tzaddik. He did tzedek, he did tzedakah. What he did was the right thing to do. Of course, when we talk about hevel, we're going to call him a chassid, not a tzaddik. Chassid, because he goes above and beyond what is asked of him. But let's press the pause button on Cain right now. And let's talk a little bit about hevel. So if Cain is born into the world with this arrogance, how do you think Hevel feels? For a second, if you took him to the therapist and you said, you know, Hevel's not acting himself, and they asked him about himself and they tried to get to the root of it, you might come to a conclusion that Hevel has very low self-worth, a low self-esteem. He doesn't think that much of him because nobody thinks that much of him. Because he really doesn't have a purpose. He's the spare. He's the extra. He's the secondary one. And if you start to see the two brothers and each one was wearing a t-shirt, Cain's might say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. I'm the reason that God created the world. Kaniti ish. God did all of this and created the whole world and allowed Chava to give birth so that everything would be ready and set for when I came into the world. Literally, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, and you could see him with his muscles all ready and strong and proud, and I'm going to say arrogant. But if you looked at Hevel, and he was wearing something, he might have in tiny little font, the smallest letters saying, Anochi Afar Va'efer. I'm really nothing and I'm really nobody. And the truth of the matter is, if I disappeared, nobody would even miss me. And the occupations that they both are involved in speak to that. Because Cain, he's Kinyan. He's one who acquires. He has stability. There's substance. There's permanence. Later on, he's going to go build cities with his son Chanoch. They're going to become builders and they're going to become established and they're going to become people of strong roots, literally. And then Hevel, what is his occupation? Maybe now we understand Vayhi Hevel Ro'etzon, what that means. Maybe Hevel is going to end up being a shepherd because he's Hevel. He's like the wind. He's like vapor. He's on the move. He goes this way. He goes that way. Just like the shepherd. He's a Navinad. He's actually the first Navinad, the first wanderer, because he doesn't, that's what shepherds do. They go from place to place looking for another green pasture. You put your head down on the pillow here tonight, and then tomorrow, who knows where you're going to be sleeping. And you're a little bit like a dust in the wind kind of a thing. But if Torah was just about telling us the stories of Cain and Hevel, entertaining as they may be, we'd be missing the point. I think what's happening here is God is establishing right here. He had established it originally with Adam and Chava when he gave them free choice. And he put the tree in the garden and he gave them choice. Listen, don't listen. Eat, don't eat. Follow, heed my voice, don't heed my voice. And that was the chapter one. Chapter two, we didn't lose free choice. In the garden, God gave us free choice. And now when he sends him and chases him out and we're in the world, the space that we believe that today we are all occupants of, this planet Earth that we're on right now, this free choice still exists. Because Cain has a choice. He could be, like we had said originally, he could be the one who's going to take and acquire and amass and create for himself a stability and strength. Or he could also be Cain, like a Khan, like a Khan Sipor, like a nest, like a bird's nest. He could use his stability. He could use his the fact that he's already complete, that he has everything that he needs. And he could be this bastion, this place of safety, this place where from him, all those in need could come and they could be fed and protected and they could be nourished. He could be that nest, or he could be the one who thinks that he's just God's gift to the world. He could use the gifts that God gave him and share it with the world. There is a free choice inherent in who he is, and Hevel too. Hevel, this idea of Havel, of vapor, also has an element of spirit. And Hevel, and there are commentaries who say that Hevel should have defended himself, that Hevel should have established himself, and Hevel shouldn't see himself as the victim, as the underdog, as the low self-esteem, because maybe in this story, We see what happens when we think we don't have a right to exist, and we actually believe that there's no need for our existence in the world. And maybe we feel that we're occupying space that we shouldn't be occupying. And if we believe that for even 1 second, says the Torah, then blood's going to be spilled. Because Hevel has inherent in his vapor, he also has spirit. There is ruach. Ruach could just be dust in the wind, ruach, like regular wind on a windy day, or presence and influence and a spiritual strength that we today understand is far greater than the actual physical strength. A spiritual strength, an inner strength, an omets is always greater than just chozek. You know, when the soldiers go out, we tell them chazak ve'ematz. We tell them both. Because yes, you need physical strength, but you need omets, because the physical brute strength, without the omets, without the courage, without the strength of spirit, is not even anything that we could rely on for success. And so I should say this, why do I say that Hevel has this spiritual side to him? Is because it says even about Hevel, v'hevel hevi gam hu, when Hevel's gonna bring his mincha, he's bringing of himself, gam hu. And what is he bringing? Mi bechorot sono. You know why he brings the bechorot of the tzon? He brings the bikurim of his son? Because he thinks of God first and himself last. And those who think of God first and themselves last, God thinks of them first. And God's right there for them. Unfortunately, in our story, Cain is unhappy with the state of affairs, that God accepted Hevel's sacrifice, didn't accept his. God comes and warns him, and he tells him, why are you so miserable? Lama charalach, lama naflu panecha, why are you so miserable? And he tells Cain what he tells every one of us. Halo im tetiv se'et. Back to this word, tov. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Compare yourself to your own set of tov. I made you this tov, and I made him that tov. And the minute that you go and try to be his tov or get his tov, you're going to lose your own tov. My mom has a beautiful story. It's Spanish. It's about a dog who has a sandwich in his mouth. Maybe you've heard it. And he looks into the lake and he sees in the lake, of course it's his reflection, he sees another dog with a sandwich in his mouth. And because the dog is greedy and not happy with his own sandwich, he opens his mouth because he wants to snatch the other dog's sandwich. And el perro sin las dos tortas, that's the Spanish version, he becomes the dog that doesn't have either sandwich. He's a dog that had his own sandwich and lost it trying to take somebody else's sandwich. And what God is telling Cain here is, halo im tetiv se'et, you have your own gifts. You have your own set of tov. Im tetiv, you be your form of greatness, and that's it. Stop looking at other people and other successes, and you know what will happen? Se'et, you will become uplifted. But what's going to happen? Im lo tetiv, if you're not going to have this attitude of tov, if you're not going to have this attitude of this is my light, and I'm going to let my light shine, and I'm not going to focus on everybody else's light and how brightly they're shining. If you're not going to do that, im lo tetiv, if you're not going to live up to the inherent tov that you have, that God imbued us with, I'm sorry to tell you, but lepetach chatat rovetz, that's the place where chet, where either sin or a void is going to be created. And that void, elecha teshukato, that void is going to be the thing that's going to most ensnare you. But it tells us this, and this is what we have to remember. And if we weren't living in these times, I would still say this. Ve'atatim shol bo. God gave us the ability to be a moshel, to be a ruler. We can not only rule, but we can prevail over all of these other forces. Unfortunately, Cain doesn't heed the warning. He doesn't take God's pep talk. And when they're in the Sadeh, and we know this very well, Rabbi Sacks says it all the time, where there are no words, there are weapons. If they can't have a conversation, if there isn't a means of healthy communication, what's going to happen? Vayakom Kayin el hevel achiv vayahargehu. There is going to be bloodshed. There's one thing I'd like to harp on for today, because it's just so, maybe I'm hearing it in my own head. But when God comes and he calls Kayin out, and he asks him, where is Hevel, your brother? And Cain answers and says, am I responsible for my brother? Hashomer achi anochi? Am I his keeper? Am I his secretary? Should I know where he is every day? We've harped on those words before, but today I'd like to harp on the next few words. God tells him, from now on you are cursed from the Adama. Because she opened her mouth to take your blood from your hands. In other words, kol deme achicha tzo'akim elai min ha'adama. We should never believe that spilled blood doesn't have a voice. We should never believe that it ends there. Because hadam hu hanefesh, the blood itself has a soul, and that soul is crying out to God. God's going to hear the voice of that blood, and he's going to say, he who sheds blood is going to be cursed from the land. This is not me speaking. This is straight here, Adiv Pedic 4. And yimach shemam, those murderers who have spilled blood will be cursed. Mark these words, Torah emet, Torah is truth. And Torah says, if you spill blood, then the earth is going to spit you out. And God willing, we're gonna see the fulfillment of this. And it says, even if you try to work the land, if you spilled blood on that land, lo tosef tet kochalach, the land's not gonna give you of its strength. And you know what? Mr. wearing his t-shirt, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, I think you need to have an outfit change, because you know what? Go put on your brother's t-shirt. You're now going to be Ana Venad Tehiye Ba'aretz. You're going to have to be the guy who is no longer stable in one place. You're going to now have to be the wanderer. You're going to put your head to sleep on a pillow in one place at night, and the next night, no two nights will you sleep in the same place. And Cain at this point says, Gadol avoni mineso, my sin is too big for me to bear. And rather than view this from the lens of God forgiving Cain, which we will, we have to recognize ourselves as well. We just went through an entire Yom Kippur. And if we just acknowledge Gadol Avoni Meneso, we're not perfect. You're right, we're not perfect. I don't think anybody here can stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we are Ish Tamim, we are perfect. But you know what God says? All you have to do is recognize Gadol Avoni Meneso. And I'm gonna take, I'm gonna guess, not guess, I'm going to say with confidence, that's what I wanted to say, I'm going to say with confidence that nobody here murdered their brother. Nobody. And even Cain, who murdered his brother, whose brother's blood called out to God to judge and witness what took place, you know what happened? Even with Cain, God had mercy on him. And God had mercy because he realized and he recognized that what he did was wrong. And if there is no recognition, there will be retribution. And here, what happens to Cain, he becomes a wanderer, and he is now going to have to start the cycle. From here on, we're going to be, just so we have a sense, that the tiller of the land, the occupation that started from Adam, who was Oved Adama, and then Cain, who was Oved Adama, we're going to see the next few of our great leaders, whether it's Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, go down the Sefer, the Torah. They're all going to be shepherds. But by the end of Sefer Devarim, which we finished last week, we will complete the cycle, and the laws that God and Moshe are going to give us are going to be all agricultural laws, because there is a process, and the process is going to supersede the product. If you're going to get a product, if you're going to bring forth from the land with a sense of arrogance, and this is what it's going to say also in Sefer Devarim, it's not me, this is Moshe saying, be careful of the kochi ve'otzem yadi asali achayel hazeh. Be careful you don't turn into Cain. Be careful you don't think that you're the center of the universe. And this process of going through being shepherds, being nomadic, being wanderers, at the same time, we're going to recapture the hevel component, the spiritual component, the vapor that's the Spirit of God, that's the Shekhinah. That's the part that we are going to now gather as shepherds out there and bring it back into the field and bring it back as Ovde Adama and bring it back ultimately so that we could be the ones who are going to redu, who are going to be not only guardians, but rulers of the earth that God created. I think this week's Haftarah is going to depict beautifully what Hashem has in store for us. I'm so happy that this week's Haftarah was chosen to be from Sefer Yeshayahu. Sefer Yeshayahu speaks of the ultimate redemption. I think that's on everybody's minds. It's in everybody's hearts. There's not a person who isn't thinking, we want Mashiach. And I always say, we have to raise Mashiach. Humans raise and create human beings. Like Chava created Cain, we have to, as a nation, our generation has to produce Mashiach. Mashiach is not somebody that's just going to appear. He's somebody that's going to be a product of the process. There's a process. And Yeshayahu is going to walk us through it. If you have a Tanakh, Yeshayahu chapter 42, the Haftarah starts in Pasuk 5. And it's very beautifully relating to our parasha, because it says, Ko amar ha'el Hashem, bore ha'shamayim venotehem, roka ha'aretz ve'tzeetzaeha, noten neshama la'am aleha, veruach leholchim ba. Just that first verse is that this God that's going to now describe, we know that Yeshayahu is the prophet of redemption. If Yirmiyahu got the job of being the prophet who has to send word of doom and gloom, Yeshayahu is going to be the prophet who is, for some part, going to describe some difficult passages, but ultimately, his ultimate message is going to be one of redemption. And now he's speaking the words of God, and he says, this is what Ko Amar Ha'el Hashem. This is what Elohim Hashem, the two names of God, are here appearing in Yeshayahu. And you know who Ha'el Hashem is? He's the one who created the heavens. Venotehem, he stretched them. He spread the earth. He totally stretched everything. And what does he do? He's the one that gives breath. He's the one that gives a neshama, a soul, to the people who are living there. Next verse, it says, Ani Hashem. Now, he's speaking to the Jewish nation, Yeshayahu. And he's saying that God says, Ani Hashem. I am Yud Kevavke, Keraticha Betzedek. I'm calling you in righteousness. And I think these words are beautiful and we really need to hold on to them. Ve'achzek beyadecha. These words are in the Haftarah. They're not me trying to make you feel good. They are the prophet telling the people that God says, I am going to hold your hand. Ve'achzek beyadecha. I am not only going to hold your hand. Ve'et tzarcha ve'et necha librit am. I am going to keep you. I am going to make you the covenant of the people. Why? Because you are going to be le'or goyim. You, Bnei Israel, are going to be my people. I decided this. You know, if you read the first Rashi, it says, oh yeah, why did God start his Torah with the creation of the heavens and the earth? And then he gives the answer that if the day should come that people should question who has the right to live in Eretz Israel, we could answer and say, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. He gave us the land. It was his to give. And he chose to give it to us. Never did we need, or I should say we constantly need, to have this reminded to the world. They just may not want to hear it. So the next verse says, "Lifkoach einayim ivrot." You know what our job is now that we are in this covenant with God? And he wants us to be the light unto the nations. Because remember we said, Or Lagoyim is Yehi Or. That we have to not just be a light to the nations, but we have to educate and enlighten the nations. And we have to generate light. When we do that, we'll open Einayim, like Pokeach Ivrim. We'll open the eyes of the blind. And then, this is for us today, Lehotzi Mimasger Asir. We, by spreading our light, by opening the eyes of the blind, by generating all of this enlightenment, that's going to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons. And those who sit Mibet Kele Yoshve Choshech, those who are sitting in a place of darkness, will be freed when we are able to exude this light, this idea that Hashem is with us. And that's why I said I refuse to be vayidom. We have to refuse to be silent. We cannot be silent. If you see anything, and I caution looking at the images that are all circulating all over the place, but if you have to see anything, you should see what the soldiers look like before getting on their tanks, before being dispatched to their units and to their places where they're going. They are singing, they are unified, they are hugging, they are excited, they are in a circle. Hashem Yishmerem. Hashem should, just for the fact that they could go into battle singing. Do you know what that means? When they go into battle singing, it means they know Hashem is in the tank sitting right next to them. And they know that the promises that God made will be upkept. And they know without a doubt that the words of the Nevi'im are going to come to life. Ani Hashem Hushmi, my name is God. Harishonot hineba'u, forget everything that you already heard in the past, because now, Chadashot ani magid, I'm going to now declare new things. Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash, that's what these soldiers are doing. They are singing a new song. The song that these soldiers are singing says, God, you've done it before, and I know and I'm sure that this new song is going to bring salvation as well. Yis'u midbar ve'arav, chatzerim teshev keder, the wilderness, the cities, everything's going to sing. They're going to, merosh harim, we're going to be singing from the top of the mountains. And the song that's going to be sung is going to yasimu Hashem kavod, is going to bring glory to Hashem. Because Hashem kagibor yetzeh. Hashem is with us. He is the gibor. He is the soldier next to us. It's not just that Hashem is coming and fighting the wars with us. It's we're victorious because we see our fellow soldier as bringing godliness into the endeavor. My soldier, my buddy, my team, my unit, we all together are possessing this godliness. Hashem ke gibor yetzeh. When we go out like giborim, then we are mirroring God, because God is ish milchamot. God is a man of war. God is a ish tzevaot, Hashem tzevaot. The name for God that is used is so beautiful that God is also a warrior and God is also a soldier. And therefore, al oivav yitgaber, he's going to be able to prove himself and exalt himself over his enemies. It even says, ke yoleda efe. You know what a yoleda is? A woman who's giving birth. And God is saying, you know what? I held my voice for too long, but now I'm going to cry like a woman who's giving birth. Because this cry that I am going to cry is a cry that's going to birth something new. And he says, asim machshach lifnehem la'od. Whatever is dark in front of them right now, vayihi od. I'm going to make it light. I'm going to turn it to light. And when we read these words in our Haftarah, I'm skipping ahead, verse 21, Hashem chafetz. This is what God wants. Lema'an tzidko. Because that's what is tzedek. That is what's right. Yagdil Torah v'yadir. He wants us to continue learning Torah. He wants us to continue to bring the light into this world. And Yeshayahu chapter 43, to me, is if every person going out to battle was able to hold this close and dear to them. Hashem says, I created you. Don't fear. I redeem you. And this verse to me just struck a chord. Verse 2, chapter 43 in Yeshayah. Ki ta'avor b'mayim itcha ani. Doesn't matter where you are. You want to go over the waters, I'm with you. Ubin harot, you want to go over through the rivers, don't worry, I'll make sure they don't overflow. Ki telech b'mo'esh, even if you have to go through fire, even modern day, fires, flames, you won't be burnt. Lo tiv'arbach, the flame won't burn you. God is telling us he's going to continue to do miracles for us. And these are the miracles that just by speaking them, just by reading them, just by bringing them into existence, we are saying, Hashem, this is the promise that you made, that you sent through Yeshayahu. So please, when our brothers and sisters are out there and they come across fire and they come across dangerous terrain, don't forget Pasuk 2, you are right there alongside them. Ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem. I am your Savior, Moshi'echa. Al tira, verse 5, just hang on to this. Al tira, there is no fear. Ki itcha anochi. Again, these words, itcha anochi. If you could only take two words today, then these words, itcha anochi, should ring in our ears. That God is saying, I am with you. I am constantly with you. I have not left you. We know the commentaries say that even in our suffering, Hashem is with us. Even in our time of pain, Hashem is with us. Even in our exile, Hashem accompanies us. And so he will redeem us, because that will be a redemption of Elohe Tzevaot, the God who is the greatest warrior that we will know. And we say, Haskireni Hashem, remember me. Please, lema'an titzdak. We're asking God and we're saying, please, everything that you've promised, let it come to be, so that there will be tzedek and your words will constantly ring true. I'm going to end, if it's okay with your permission. I know I went a little bit over time. I would like to say that this name for God, and maybe that's the name that I have that's reverberating, this name, Hashem Tzevaot, Hashem, the God of the Tzava. It's used by Chana. She calls him Hashem Tzevaot. It's used by Shmuel when he wants Shaul to defeat the Amalekim, who I believe is what we're fighting right now. We're fighting the people who came and they targeted the weak, the ones that were unarmed and unprepared and the most vulnerable ones. They're the ones that they came. And David is going to write a beautiful mizmor, and I'd like to read Tehillim 20 and end with this, and hope and pray that in the merit of these words that either David or the composer has written, that they will come to be and we'll be able to actually realize and recognize the fulfillment. Lam natseach mizmor le David. Ya'ancha Adonai biyom tzara, yesagevcha shem Elohe Yaakov. Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh umitzion yisadecha. Yizkor kol menuchotecha ve'olatcha yedashena sela. Yiten lecha kilvavecha ve'chol atzatecha yimale neranena bishuatecha. Ubeshem Adonai Eloheinu Nidgol. Yemale Adonai Kol Mishalotecha. Atayadati Ki Hoshia Adonai Meshicho. Ya'anehu Mishme Kodsho. Bigvurot Yesha Yemino. Ele Barechev. Ve'ele Basusim. Ve'anachnu. Beshem Adonai Eloheinu Nazkir. Hema Kar'u Ve'nafalo. Ve'anachnu. Kamnu venit odad. Adonai, Hoshia, Hamelech ya'anenu biyom korenu. The last verse means, Hashem, please save us. You are the king, and please answer us as we call out to you. We recognize that they have missiles. We recognize that they have weapons and they have guns, and they've had in the past, and regimes have come, and pogroms have come, and holocausts have come, and mass murderings have come. But you know what? Hema kar'u venafalu. You know what happened to all of those regimes? They disintegrated. They fell apart, and they were laid prey. Anachnu kamnu venit odad. But we are standing strong, and we are standing straight, and we are asking you today, God, please, have mercy on all of us, on our nation, on our sisters, our brothers, our children. Again, have mercy on those who are in a state of mourning. Have mercy on those who are in a state of hope. And have mercy on all Israel. And may we please, please be in a position that we could live in your land in peace. B'mehra be'ameinu.
Amen.